As a nurse, I primarily work with children who are abused and exploited in trafficking, and I frequently see very unfair situations. We must talk about the issue of abuse. We can't base our actions on fear. We have to be faith-informed in what we do.
The Dr. Nurse Mama Show. For more from Dr. Jessica Peck, tune in at 2 p.m. Central on American Family Radio or on the podcast page at afr.net. Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good Friday morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. I am sitting across the table from Debbie Shreve, my beautiful wife. She has been AWOL for the last 2 weeks.
The Debster, yes. I haven't been AWOL so much as you've had scheduled
other
thing.
People.
Yes. Yes.
So I'm the wind
beneath the wings. I'm still there.
Because everybody, I saw some people at Broadmoor that listened to Real Truth for Today, and they say, I really like your radio program. I really like it when Debbie's on.
There you go.
So you're a crowd favorite, favorite.
Right, yes.
So we want to talk today about praying together as husbands and wives. You know, that's one of the things, even for pastors, so many couples don't pray together. So many wives want that, and the husband doesn't either. He doesn't know how to do it. He feels inadequate. For whatever reason, they don't do it. Well, here is the prayer promise we want to kind of build everything off of. Jeremiah chapter 33, beginning in verse 2. Thus says the Lord, who made the earth, the Lord who formed it to establish it, the Lord, Yahweh is his name, call to me, and I will answer you, and I will tell you great and mighty things which you do not know. That's an invitation from the King of Kings and Lord of Lords to cry out to him, and he says he will answer. And so, Debbie, in marriage especially, because marriage is one of those things that looks easy to those who are young and not yet married, but it's not easy, and marriage takes a lot of prayer, and it takes a lot of understanding, and it takes a lot of give and take to have a good marriage. And if you're not including the Lord, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. And so prayer is key.
Well, and I think, too, if you think of your marriage relationship as a triangle, and husband is on the left bottom of the triangle, wife is on the right bottom of the triangle, God is at the top of the triangle, the closer you become to the Lord individually, the closer you become to each other as well as you move up that triangle towards the top. And so that takes intentionality. It takes discipline. It takes all of those things to do that, and it takes a constant reminder of the importance of doing it, because we have an enemy out there who wants to distract us, who wants to keep us from it, because he knows that there is power in prayer. He knows that, and he wants to just keep us from that at all cost. And, you know, if you think about it, how often when you're praying, within moments of praying, your mind can wander.
Right.
I mean, so quickly. Like when you're doing some other task, you can stay a little more focused. But there's something about the enemy's attacks when you're praying that just all of a sudden your mind is just shooting off in all different kinds of directions, distracting you from the purpose of what you're trying to do. And so we have to be keenly aware of that and make sure that we do keep that a priority.
Well, I know you like to journal your prayers.
Yes, and because it helps me stay focused.
Mm-hmm.
Because my mind will wander. I'll think, oh, wait, gosh, I forgot I've got to get mustard today when I go to the grocery store. I mean, just stupid stuff, right?
Yeah.
But those are the kind of distractions that will come into my mind. And so journaling and writing those things down definitely helps me stay focused. And then it helps me keep track of things, particularly people that I want to be praying for, maybe people who have cancer, who are sick, who are going through a hard time. I can flip back a couple of days and think, oh gosh, I forgot to pray for this person today, that kind of thing. So it helps me with that as well.
Well, the Bible says, Colossians 3, beginning in verse 18, wives, be subject to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be embittered against them. You know, one of the things about praying together as a couple, it helps you not let things build up, not let resentments and hurt feelings build up, because I'm calling on God with you, and how am I going to do that if my heart's not right? And so it forces you to make sure your heart is right before the Lord, confess any sin, and then join your hands and join your hearts to pray about issues. You know, Debbie, we've prayed over the years for our kids and our grandkids, and especially when issues come up that are burdening our hearts about our kids or grandkids.
Big decisions that we have to make.
Yeah, and then just everyday stuff, just asking God to bless and, you know, to give wisdom and to put his hand of you know, blessing and favor upon us in a situation or whatever it might be. You know, we pray a lot with From His Heart Ministries that the Lord would provide the finances for that. Mm-hmm. It's totally listener, viewer funded, and that's always a constant
need
and,
absolutely,
and prayer request.
Yeah, but you know, I think too, when it comes to praying as a couple, there's a certain vulnerability that comes with that in terms of just speaking your prayers out loud in front of another individual. And in marriage, that's one of the things, we come at it from different angles, but that's one of the things that both partners desire is closeness and vulnerability and intimacy in a marriage. And so that's part of why praying together moves you closer together as you move closer to the Lord. And I think it's so easy to let just life distract us and not be in communication with the Lord and with each other with the Lord. And there's just something about that. And, you know, the Bible talks over and over about the fact that prayer is it's a weapon that we have to fight off the enemy. And, you know, as we walk this earth, we may think that we have a lot of struggles and a lot of battles that we're facing, but ultimately, every battle we face is a spiritual battle. Uh-huh. And so prayer is one of our biggest weapons,
right,
to be able to fight that battle. And, you know, I was thinking about it, it's like when we have periods of time where we aren't praying together, we can drift apart from each other, mm-hmm, and we can drift from the Lord, like even just in our personal relationships. And I think that's one of the key things. It's like, okay, we need to be praying for each other in our personal relationship with the Lord, and that we're personally having time with him, that we're personally praying with him, then we can come together in prayer as well. Mm-hmm. And that's an important element.
Right, because we want to keep our hearts, you know, the goal of the Christian life is that you keep your heart on fire for Jesus. Revelation chapter 2, the Lord said to the church in Ephesus, you're doing good in lots of areas, but I have this against you, that you have left your first love. And that's the danger all of us have, is we start to cool in our love for the Lord, and we lose that passion, that desire. As that Robert Robinson song says, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. And the devil is constantly trying to get us off course and trying to get our eyes on other things, and that other things become most important. You know, Debbie, in marriage, oftentimes it's if the marriage is not good and the husband and wife are not working hard on the marriage to keep that this centerpiece in the Lord, then the wife, the husband can kind of focus in on work, and the wife starts to focus in on the kids. Mm-hmm. And we see that time and time and time again.
Right. And I think, just, you know, we like you said, we all have a tendency to wander. And so we have a tendency to slack off in our prayer life, slack off in our Bible reading, maybe slack off in our church attendance, in our involvement with church, with our commitment to church. And anytime we start to see those things happening, those are huge red flags that we need to immediately take care of and deal with. And, you know, I was thinking back as I was as we were preparing for today, I was thinking back that that is one of the largest tragedies to me that took place during the COVID lockdown, is because people drifted away. And some of them to this day have not gotten back in the habit of coming to a place of worship to assemble together with other believers. And, you know, the Bible tells us to not forsake that. And there's a reason that we don't forsake that. We don't forsake it because we gain strength and we gain encouragement. We gain power. We gain tools to fight this battle. All these things take place as we unite together in a community of believers to worship. And so when we start to see those things, we need to be aware of that. And that's something we can pray for our spouse, for ourselves, and we can pray that together. Like, Lord, keep my heart on fire for you. And, you know, I think we could all, if we're honest, we would say that our feelings ebb and flow. So our feelings of closeness with the Lord, our feelings of desiring to be in His Word, desiring to pray, those things can ebb and flow. And so there's a discipline that comes as you mature in the Lord that says, okay, whether I feel like this or not, I'm going to continue to do this. I'm going to continue to press in. Even though I feel like maybe my prayers are hitting the ceiling and just bouncing back down to me, I'm not going to believe that lie. Mm-hmm. I'm going to continue to pray. I'm going to continue to believe. I'm going to continue to trust. And so we can pray those things for each other and encourage each other, because in our marriage, we have seen this to be true. We rarely ever both hit a low spot at the same time.
Yeah.
I mean, God's been very gracious with that. So maybe when you're experiencing a low spot, I'm in a position of strength at that time, and vice versa, so we can balance each other out.
Well, Ecclesiastes 4, I use this oftentimes at a wedding. It says in verse 9 and following, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. For if either of them falls, the one will lift up his companion. But woe to the one who falls when there is not another to lift him up. Furthermore, if two lie down together, they keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? And if one can overpower him who is alone, two can resist him. A cord of three strands is not quickly torn apart. That's what marriage is. It's a cord of three strands. It's the husband, the wife, and the Lord. Mm-hmm. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain that build it. Psalm 127:1. So the Lord wants us to do that, that cord of three strands, where Jesus is the cornerstone of the marriage and the home, and that husbands and wives share together, pray together,
worship together.
Worship together.
If you're at all able to go to church together and worship
together.
Yeah,
it's not good when you see couples and he goes to his church and she goes to her church. You know, that we see that at times, or he doesn't go to church and she goes to church. And that's very, very difficult. And so, you know, you back it up and you say, okay, I need to make a good choice when it comes to choosing a marriage partner. I don't need to just say, well, I don't like this about him and that about him and the other, but he seems like he's the last train out of town, you know? It's like you don't ever settle. You trust God for your best that he's going to give you, and the Lord is faithful. When we, you know, when we're trusting him, he's faithful to provide for us.
Well, and on a side note, which is really attached to that, is you have to be the person you want to attract. So if you are looking and longing for a godly husband, you've got to be a godly woman.
Right.
And vice versa. And so you can't be living a super compromised life and think that you're going to attract this godly man that's going to be, you know, steady as the day is long and lead you. You're not going to attract that kind of person.
No.
And so that's important to remember.
Well, yeah. So you and I met at church. We met at the singles department at Champion Forest Baptist Church. And And Jill and Jay met at church, and Amy and Travis, Jill is our oldest daughter, Amy's our middle daughter, Amy and Travis met at church at First Baptist Church in Houston. And so that's a great place to meet your spouse. You know, as you're worshiping, as we used to tell Amy all the time, you be faithful like Ruth, faithful to your field, and God will bring Boaz around at the proper time. So just keep trusting him. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, along with my beautiful, wonderful wife, Debbie. And we're talking about praying together as a couple, praying together as husband and wife. We're up against a break, but we'll be right back. Don't go away.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at afr.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here, along with my wife, Debbie. We're talking about prayer, and especially for a husband and wife to pray together. Sadly, many couples don't pray together. Even in couples in the ministry, they don't pray together. Pastors will pray with all sorts of people at church, but then many of them don't pray with their wives, and their wives really want that and need that. There are other guys that they feel like their wife is further along spiritually than they are. They're kind of intimidated. Prayer is a hard thing for them to do, especially praying out loud. I remember when I was a young Christian, praying out loud was just like, oh, you know, I don't know what to say. And my prayers were very short because I ran out of bullets after about 20 seconds. So it can be an intimidating thing. Debbie.
Well, okay. I didn't know that you were finished.
Yeah, I was
okay,
you were throwing
just,
it to you.
I didn't know if you were just looking at me
longingly.
Just lovingly. Yeah. I didn't read those signals well. Okay. I think, too, what's interesting about that comment, Jeff, is that that's one of the important features of being around other believers, because you can learn a lot about prayer from listening to other people pray.
Mm-hmm.
I've just seen that in my own life, because I've been around people who in prayer think about things to pray that never even necessarily entered my mind. And just different phrases that they might use, or just to see the level of sincerity of their heart and their belief in the power of prayer, that's encouraging. And so it can be cool to be around other people, because prayer is one of those things, a little child can do it, so it's easy, but it's also hard. And so we can learn a lot from other people about prayer.
Well, I had mentioned that to the Kendricks, Alex and Steven, when they were on the program talking about The Forge. If you haven't seen that movie, I encourage you to go see it. Great, great movie, and very inspirational. And one of the things in the movie The Forge is how they prayed.
Right.
It's kind of it's a continuation from Prayer Room, which was all about prayer. Mm-hmm. This movie's The Forge is about discipleship, but the prayers are so powerful. And when you hear people pray, it's like they're not just mumbling through a laundry list of, and God bless Aunt Sue and bless, you know, Billy. And, you know, it's, they're really talking to God. And, you know, think about how your prayers change when the bottom drops out of your life, when there's difficulty that comes to your life. Now all those laundry lists mumbling through praying for Aunt Sue's bunions, that starts to go by the wayside, and you're crying out to God, God, I need you. And God, I am struggling, and I'm struggling with doubt. I'm struggling with discouragement. I'm struggling with
fear.
Fear, with disappointment, with feeling overlooked, whatever it might be. You bring all that up to the Lord. The Bible says, humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your cares upon him, because he cares for you. And we need to do that with all our hearts. So if we are just take it or leave it, now you see it, now you don't, where to go, just that kind of wishy-washy type of relationship with the Lord or prayer life, we're not going to see our prayers answered. Mm-hmm. But when we start to really believe God and call upon his name, then we do see God answer. I love what it says in Deuteronomy chapter 4, for what great nation is there that has a God so near to it as is the Lord our God, whenever we call on him. God is near when we call on him. God longs to answer the prayers of his children as we pray according to his will. God's not interested in doing your will or my will. He's interested in having his will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Yeah, I had just mentioned that, I think last Sunday, maybe in our Sunday school class, where I had written down as an answer to a question that, you know, I pray and I ask God for things, and oftentimes I get those things. And it's not because I've prayed them. It's because that was what my will actually lined up with God's will, mm-hmm. you know. And that's part of prayer, is that process of where he changes our minds and he changes our thoughts to get our will and our thoughts in alignment with what his will is.
Right. Well, one of the verses I like so much, Psalm 37:4, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. And so when we talk about praying according to God's will, don't ever get the idea that God's will is something that is like bad tasting medicine you have to take a spoonful of to get better. God's will is that which is good and acceptable and perfect. It's tailor made for you. And so if you will delight yourself in the Lord, and literally what that means, that word delight means to make yourself soft, to make yourself pliable. I always think about the potter and the clay, you know, as God told Jeremiah, go down to the potter's house and see him working on the wheel. I'm the potter, Jeremiah, you're the clay. So the job of the clay, if we can put it in those terms, is to just be soft in the hands of the potter. So wherever he wants you to go, you don't fight him, you just go.
Well, and what's interesting about that, Jeff, because you know that I do pottery and you have done it on occasion, but it doesn't take much pressure of the potter on the clay to make real drastic changes
right.
in the clay.
If the clay
is soft.
Right.
Right? If the clay is soft and you have it on the wheel and you're working on it, you barely have to put pressure on that for a lot of change to take place in the clay. If the clay's wet as it needs to be.
Right. You know? Well, if you notice, if you've ever done pottery or seen it done on television or something like that, they're constantly wetting that
mm-hmm.
because it has to stay wet and supple. I remember Catherine Lanier, our friend, Mark Lanier's sister, mm-hmm. Mark's a good friend, has been on the program before. You know, she told me one time, she's a master potter.
Yes, she's incredible.
And she told me one time, she said, you know, if the clay doesn't want to go in the direction that I want it to go, then the potter has to hurt the clay.
Mm-hmm.
Those were her words.
Mm-hmm.
And what she meant by that, you have to exert a lot of pressure.
Mm-hmm.
And if it still won't go, then you have to just crush it and start over.
Right.
Because that's just not, it's not going to work. And so we want to be soft in the hands of the Lord. And prayer is one of those things. As you get yourself soft in the hands of the Lord, then your desires start to line up with his desires. Then your prayers start to be according to his will. And Debbie, in getting back to just husbands and wives praying together, it doesn't have to be a long prayer time.
Right.
It can. There's power in just a minute or two together praying, and I think the good praying is kind of back and forth praying, sentence type prayers where you're not having to go, okay, you go for 10 minutes and then I'll go for 10 minutes. You know, maybe you go for a sentence or two, and maybe you lift up, you know, one of our kids, and I lift up another kid, and you lift up a grandchild, I lift up a grandchild, that kind of thing. We can go back and forth. And it keeps it fresh, and it keeps everybody engaged, and the Lord is glorified, and it draws our hearts together as mm-hmm. we pray together.
Right. Well, I think one of the main things that we can pray for in terms of praying for each other is just that our minds would stay clean and that our minds would stay focused on the things that God wants them to be focused on. Because, you know, I had read this in a book just recently, and it's so true. All sin begins in the mind.
Mm-hmm.
It begins as either a thought, a feeling, or an idea. Unbelief starts in the mind.
Mm-hmm.
Everything comes from the mind. And, you know, one of the pieces of our armor that we're told to put on is the helmet of salvation, and that is to protect our mind.
Right.
And it's important for us to just pray for ourselves and pray for each other, that we'll remember, hey, who's am I? Who do I belong to? I've been bought with a price. Mm-hmm. Who do I belong to? And what do I believe, so that I can stand firm for those things that I believe that the Bible says to be true, regardless of culture, right? Because culture is taking all of God's word, it's watering it down, it's throwing it out, it's trashing it. That doesn't change the validity and the unchangeable nature of God's word. It doesn't change. And so that we can pray those things for each other, that our minds would stay focused on the things that they need to stay focused on. And as a result of our minds being that way, dictates our actions and things that we get involved in, things that we speak, things that we do. And so it's important that we renew that, and we renew our minds daily. The Bible tells us that. And we need to be praying that over each other.
Well, the scripture says in spiritual warfare, 2 Corinthians 10, it says, for the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. The devil wants to build a fortress of lies in your mind. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. So, Debbie, exactly what you said. All sin begins in the mind. James says, each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. And when lust is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. Well, that comes into your mind. There's an old progression that's been around a long time. It says this: sow a thought, reap a deed. Sow a deed, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character, reap a destiny. And it all begins with that initial thought.
Well, and I think, too, so often we don't necessarily see wrong thought patterns in ourselves. Mm-hmm. And so our spouse can see those. Sometimes they can pick up on them faster than we can. Like maybe you have a situation at work that's causing you anxiety, stress, frustration, whatever it may be. Well, your spouse may see something in that situation in terms of your response and your thought processes about it that you don't clearly see. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, iron, the Bible tells us iron sharpens iron. And so that's part of our responsibility in our love relationship with each other, is to help each other in those, to shore each other up and point out things in a kind way, obviously. But I think that's one thing that God really shows us. He gives us insight sometimes that we can be blind to ourselves.
Right. Everybody's got blind spots. You know, when you drive in a car, every car has a blind spot. And so you if you're going to change lanes, you have to turn your shoulder to see, okay, is there somebody over there? And when your spouse is in the car with you, hey, look, can I go into that lane? Your spouse can look for you. But everybody has blind spots. And that's one of the things about marriage. We encourage one another. We help one another. You know, you don't want to, I use this illustration sometimes. If you have something in your teeth, a piece of salad or something like that, you want your spouse to pull you off to the side, say, hey, you have something in your teeth. You don't want to go around talking to everybody at a dinner party and,
right,
and then nobody says
chunk
anything.
Chunk of kale in your mouth.
Yeah. You want somebody to tell you so you can address it and mm-hmm. take that out. And so, you know, one of the things too that we have a tendency to do in marriage, and the other, or the spouse that's hearing what's coming out of your mouth can help you, is negative self-talk. Mm-hmm. I'm no good. Nothing ever works out right for me. I didn't get the promotion because, lo and behold, you know, I always get dumped on. Mm-hmm. That kind of woe is me. Mm-hmm. Your spouse can say, hey, wait a minute. You're a child of the King. Quit talking about yourself that way.
I already know what you're going to say.
Say it.
Okay. This was when the kids were little, and I was just super discouraged one day. I can still remember we were in the kitchen when you told me this, but I was, you know, going on and on with the negative negative talk, which normally isn't me, because I'm definitely very a glasses positive. Half full kind of person. But anyway, this day was just not a good day. And you just stopped me in the middle and you said, stop talking about my wife like that.
Yeah.
You know, and it really just like shook me, because I was like, oh, wait a minute. I am doing that. I mean, because like you wouldn't tolerate, you wouldn't want someone else talking about me that way. And so you didn't want to hear me talking about myself that way either.
Right. Yeah. We have to remind ourselves that. And God doesn't like to hear that, because God says, hey, you belong to me. Mm-hmm. You know, if somebody was talking bad about one of our kids or grandkids, we would step in and say, hey, you don't talk about them like that. Well, God's hearing everything that we say, and God is saying, quit talking about yourself that way. And you need to start believing the truth of who you are and whose you are and the plan that I have for you. And so that is very, very important. And as couples, we can help, because we can see those blind spots and we can say, oh, wait a minute, time out. You're looking at circumstances. You've gotten your eyes off the Lord, and we need to get our eyes back on the Lord. Mm-hmm. And when you both have some difficulty or disaster come into your lives where you're both down, you can huddle together, and that's where the body of Christ really comes in and encourages you and prays for you and lifts you up. That makes all the difference in the world.
Well, and that's another area I think that we can pray for each other about, is just our relationships that we have, relationships within the family, relationships outside of church, maybe secular relationships that we have, just those friendships that everybody needs. You know, we were made for community. And, you know, Adam was in a perfect garden with a perfect God. There's no sin. And yet God saw that he was still missing something because he needed a companion. And so we were just innate within us is this need for community and need for relationship that we have. And that's something that we can pray for each other about, is just our relationships.
Well, and you hurt for people that lose their spouse, because the common theme is it's lonely.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I come home. I may do a lot of stuff during the day, but when I come home, it's just me, and I don't have anybody to talk to. It's just lonely. So our hearts go out to people that are in that situation. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, along with my wife, Debbie. When we come back from the break, we'll be taking your calls, your questions, your comments, or a brief testimony. We'd love to hear from you. 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. So give us a call and share your question, your comment, your testimony, and we will talk after the break. You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show. That's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you. We need to save them. That's why we've partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now that's a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on you and me. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies. And that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28, or 140 helps rescue 5 babies' lives. Abortion doesn't stop, so we can't either. Together, you and I can save lives. Just call #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's 250 baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here along with my wife, Debbie, and we're talking about praying together as a couple, as husband and wife, and just the power of prayer. Prayer has power individually, but it has even more power when you do it together, and especially when you do it together in your marriage, because We've heard the old expression, and it really is true. The couple that prays together stays together. If you're going to keep seeking the Lord together, you know, if I'm walking with God and Debbie's walking with God, we're going to be able to get along because the Holy Spirit is in charge of my life. The Holy Spirit is in charge of her life. The Holy Spirit's not going to be at odds with himself. And so, of course, you work through little idiosyncrasies and stuff like that in your spouse's personality. Nobody is thrilled with every single thing about his or her spouse.
That's so harsh.
Is that not true?
It's very true.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you marry somebody and one person's the neat freak and the other person is not quite as neat. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that can really grate on a neat freak.
Maybe the other person is a pile person where they make a lot of piles.
Do I do that?
I'm just saying that I've heard about that.
I'll stack things up in,
that's,
piles.
That's
neat,
synonymous with
neat
pile.
Piles. Mm. Neat piles. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, so you focus in on those things that you love about your spouse. Don't focus on the things that you don't like so much about your spouse. I think about Debbie, Amy, and Travis. How Travis always loses his wallet.
And his keys.
Wallet and his keys.
Bless him.
And it's just one of those things that he just forgets where he puts it, drives his fingernails on a chalkboard for Amy. Mm-hmm. But you just can't focus in on that stuff. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, that's the way it goes. Mm-hmm. Well, we're taking your calls at 888-589-8840, and we'd love for you to call in. And we do have Olin on the line from Texas. Olin, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Yeah, Jeff, this is different. I really need a prayer request. I'm 65 years old, and I really did know truly the Lord until 3 years ago. And it seemed like the closer I get to the Lord, I could be praying or walking. It seemed like Satan just sold up something had 25, 30 years ago, and it really bothers me. Sometimes it seemed like he's trying to distract me from everything. My MP3s, my Bibles, my daily bread. Just can you give me some advice? Pray for me, please.
Yeah. Well, I would do this, Olin. Just know that when the devil comes at you and he tries to beat you up with past sins, he tries to get you to focus on, you know, things that aren't good, just know that, okay, he's coming at me because, and when I say the devil, that's his whole team, the demonic horde. Most of the time, it's probably not Satan coming after us, but his teammates. That just is proof positive that God has something that he wants to do in and through your life that is going to impact others, and the enemy senses that, and he's wanting to derail your train. So sometimes we need to just look at it from a different perspective. Okay, the enemy's coming at me. He's trying to fill things, you know, lies in my mind. The Bible says, your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. But resist him firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. And after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace who called you to his eternal glory in Christ will himself strengthen, perfect, and confirm your relationship with him. And so I would look at it in a different way. And when those attacks come, just say, Lord, I'm going to focus on you. I'm going to praise you. And I know the devil is a defeated foe. And so I thank you that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I thank you that you have a plan for me. I thank you that you'll never leave me or forsake me. I thank you that there's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And you just start filling your mind with truth. Now you have to have the truth, and you have to have God's word in your mind, in your heart, you know, on note cards or whatever you need to do so that you can read those things and you can quote those things back to God. Lord, this is what you said. The enemy is coming in this way, but this is what you said.
Well, I think, Olin, there is power in the spoken word of God. And so I think for myself, when we speak God's word out loud, boy, there is power there. And so when you're feeling these attacks come on, and Satan's trying to distract you and just drop past failures into your mind, you just have to start speaking the truth out loud to rebuke the enemy. And you can just, as you start to do that out loud, you can just see the power start to diminish.
So James chapter 4 is a good chapter, Olin, where the Bible says, but he gives a greater grace. Therefore, it says God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. It says, submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Cleanse your minds and purify your hearts, you double-minded. So as we yield ourselves to the Lord and stand firm in the Lord's word, the Bible says the devil will flee from us. So let me pray for you. Father in heaven, I pray for Olin. I pray for his mind and his heart. I pray that he would take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And I pray, Lord, that you would just remind him afresh every single day how much you love him, that he would fill his mind with the cross. Jesus, that you died on the cross for his sins. You rose again from the dead. You have a special and wonderful plan for him. And I pray that he would spend time in your word every day and let your word dwell within him richly, that he would indeed, as 2 Corinthians 10 says, take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Lord, we love you. We thank you that we can trust you. We thank you that your blood washes whiter than snow, and we want to walk in the light with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Olin. I appreciate you calling in, my brother. We have Jamie on the line from Oklahoma. Jamie, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Yes, good morning. Our church is voting this Sunday whether or not to proceed with a building plan for renovating part of the church. And I'm thinking, well, what aspects do I really pray about to know if it's really God's will? Because there's a hefty sum of like $6.3 million. To complete it, and it'd be like started probably in, oh, maybe a year and a half, maybe 15 months. And so I kind of keep going back to Psalm 127. You know, I know it's, the intent of that verse is mainly for raising children, but yet, you know, kind of like, well, if the Lord builds it. And then I know in Ecclesiastes there's a time to build. But yet, I don't know, because basically in me, I said, well, I'm going to vote no.
Because?
But yeah, it's like,
Well, why do you want to vote no?
Well, kind of part of the cost, and part of, is it really going to glorify God, mainly? Because we have, God has shown us that people are attracted to our church. You know, and nothing's been done to the church, you know, within the last year and a half. So,
well, I would,
which
one would
glorify God more?
Yeah, I would encourage you this way, Jamie. So, James 1:5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously without reproach, and it will be given to him. And so just say, Lord, I'm not sure on this. And, you know, if this is what you want to do and this is of you, then show me that. Give me wisdom to help me see this from your perspective. You know, just like when you're making a decision about something in your life, should I go here or go there, take this job or that job, move here, move there, whatever it might be. The Lord says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body, and be thankful. And so God guides us by his peace. If we're getting to do, if we're taking a step in the wrong direction, we will feel a tremendous lack of peace. But if we're doing what he wants us to do, then we will experience his peace. Doesn't mean you won't have some, you know, questions or a little bit of cold feet, but there will be a sense of peace. This is the direction the Lord wants us to go. So I would just pray about that and say, Lord, I, you know, I don't want to be the person that is saying, let's go back to Egypt. You know, I want to be the person that's got my eyes on you and trusting you for big things. And, you know, $6 million is a lot, but that's nothing for God. He can handle that. I'm not saying that's what y'all are supposed to do, but I would just really ask the Lord, God, give me a peace and show me what you want me to do here.
I think there's also an element of your leadership in your church. Mm-hmm. You know, if you look at your leadership and you know, hey, I believe these guys hear from the Lord. I believe they're sensitive to his voice. I believe that they are godly people. I believe that they are obedient when God tells them to take a step, when God tells them not to take a step, when he says go to the left, when he goes to the right. If they're obedient men of God who seek after him, and you know that to be true, there's an element of trusting your leadership that's involved in it too.
Right.
So there's always the feel the fear, but do it anyway kind of concept, like Peter getting out of the boat and walking on the water. And so, you know, if it's not something that the Lord wants to take place for your church, I would pray more than anything that he would speak that to your leadership, mm-hmm. and that they would see, maybe this is something we want to do, but maybe the timing's just not right for it. Because your leaders are in place for a reason. God has put them there, and they hold a significant amount of responsibility for the decisions that they make.
Yeah, and Jamie, I would, as a pastor, if we were getting ready to do something and I had a church member that didn't want to do it or sensed that maybe this isn't right, I would want them to come to me and share those concerns and so that they could hear from me why I sense the Lord wants us to do this. And so I think that would be beneficial for you and for your pastor to know that, hey, I'm giving you the benefit of the doubt here. I'm just not 100% on board. So help me out. Mm-hmm. Help me with those questions. So I appreciate you calling in with that. Appreciate your honesty. And we just trust that the Lord will make it clear to you and to your pastor and to the church what you guys are supposed to do. Well, we have our good friend Naomi on the line from Pennsylvania. Naomi, welcome to the program.
Oh, I praise the Lord for a couple like you guys, and I hope that the Lord continue giving you understanding day by day, passion, compassion between one another, but a festival, the word of the Lord, so that you guys continue in fellowship one another, not only through prayer, but as well, through his word. And if you please, let me pray for Owen, the man that Joe,
yes.
The man that Joe called
yeah.
you for prayer. I have one scripture here for him, and it's from Psalm 34, verse 6. Owen, this is for you. If you hear right now, please, this verse, please put it in your heart. This poor man cry out to the Lord, and the Lord delivered him for all his fear, And verse 18, it says, the Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have contrite a spirit. So please, always, if right now you feel lonely and there is something in your heart, please cry out to the Lord. He's here. He have you in his hands. He loves you very much. Please cry out to him. He hears you. Don't worry about nothing. Put your hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. He hears you if you cry aloud to him. In Jesus Christ, my Lord and my Savior. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Great, great word and great prayer, Naomi. Thank you so much for that. And I appreciate you calling in to pray for Olin. So God bless you. Well, we just have another minute and a half or so, but just by way of recapitulation, we want you, that was a big word, wasn't it?
It's a very big word.
Yeah.
I'm quite impressed.
Yes. So praying together as a couple, let me just encourage you to do that. And, this talk has encouraged my heart to say, hey, Debbie, you and I need to, we need to pray more together.
And I think, too, this happens to us a lot. If we wait till the very end of the day, we're just too tired, and it just doesn't work. So for us personally, it's better if we do that at the front end of the day.
Right.
As opposed to the tail end of the day.
Yeah. So, in the model prayer, Matthew 6, the Lord says, pray then in this way. It's not that you repeat the words, but you pray according to this model. Give us this day our daily bread. That is to be prayed at the early part of the day, not at the end of the day, because your daily bread is over. You're going to bed. So you want to pray and seek the Lord early and first in your life. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Well, go out today, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you, and make this a great day and a great weekend. And just know that God wants to use you in wonderful ways to be His witness and to shine and share. So God bless you. Have a great day.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.